Hello and welcome to Sharp China. I'm Andrew Sharp, and you are listening to a free preview of today's episode. Well, all of these hurdles may or may not be cleared. We shall see. But shifting gears now, there were two stories on solar energy that you included in your newsletter last week. I'm going to read them both in tandem. So first, there's Politico EU. EU solar manufacturers have warned for months that they face an existential crisis with respect to China's near total dominance over global supply lines, which has caused a supply glut of dirt cheap solar panels inside the bloc and left them unable to compete. In the coming week, companies are set to begin laying off the roughly 4,000 skilled workers in the sector. But in a private meeting between the solar industry and the European Commission on Tuesday, the bloc's competition officials said they wouldn't change subsidy rules to support the industry without a strong push from the EU governments. And then the Financial Times had an update on the solar situation in the U.S. They write, a flood of Chinese-produced solar panels is driving prices to record lows in the U.S., a boon for renewable energy developers, but a threat to solar manufacturers trying to create a domestic supply chain for the country's fastest-growing source of electricity generation. China, the dominant solar equipment supplier, doubled production capacity last year to more than 1 trillion watts and now produces nearly three times more panels than global demand, according to the International Energy Agency and Wood Mackenzie. Global prices for panels have fallen 50% in the past year to as low as 10 cents a watt. So, Bill, this seems to be more of the same with respect to trade tensions around the world and some of the policy questions that are created by Chinese exports where domestic producers are struggling to compete. Do you think that's an accurate read on what's happening here?
No, I think so. I mean, you've got the Chinese government starting with policies and subsidies really created the solar panel manufacturing industry in China. And then, of course, China has had its own, like, the by far the most massive build out of renewable energy and solar in the world. Mm-hmm. And so there's, these firms were competing for the domestic market. But then, of course, because of the, like everything with China, once they get to scale, they even when the subsidies end, the survivors are such incredibly efficient and low-cost producers that it's very hard for other companies in other countries to compete. And so this is just happening again. I think on the one hand, you could argue there's a real benefit to the world that there's cheap solar panels for cheap solar energy, that it's brought the prices of solar power to either grid parity or below, which is objectively good for fighting climate change. On the other hand, the Chinese I think control the entire supply chain, not just making the panels, all the equipment, all the maintenance, everything, right?
Yeah.
Basically, going forward, in some ways, if you want to buy a solar panel, you're going to have to buy it from China. Then they would have a control over that entire industry. And that, at least this current generation of technology, I think that you could make an argument that that's not where a lot of countries want to be, especially the US, the EU. Our house here in DC, we put on 48 solar panels 7 years ago. They're 45 mm-hmm. now because three blew off in a storm last year. That was fun, but it's a different discussion. But it would not have been economically feasible without 30% federal tax credit at the time, as well as DC. Basically, they have a lot of states in the U.S. have these things called solar renewable energy credits, SRECs. And
right.
DC has mandated that you get, basically utilities have to buy a certain amount, and the price has a floor of around $365 per megawatt hour you produce. And so, every megawatt hour I produce, I get at least $360 on top of it. So finally last year, between the energy bill reductions and the tax credits, broke even.
There you go.
Personal anecdote, but my point is, as cheap as China's making it, it's actually, you see, like, California got rid of some of their subsidies. Solar installs went way, at least residential went way down. It's still it's a subsidized industry everywhere on some part of the chain. It's more of a policy question. I think the EU, of course, clearly they seem to have decided that they don't really, it's better to have really cheap solar panels and lose 4,000 high-skilled jobs and be reliant on China than it is to try and build up our own protected and subsidized industry. The U.S., I think, is, under Obama, didn't we have Solyndra? Wasn't that supposed to be like a solar manufacturer that turned out to be this crazy, multi-hundred-million-dollar disaster? Not clear how the U.S. competes with the Chinese on the current generation of solar panels and solar energy production.
Yeah. Well, I did a little bit of reading on the solar industry, and it just seems like it's a good object lesson and good context as all these Western economies have similar debates about EVs and trailing edge chips and any number of critical technologies, because the solar industry is an area where the cycle is further along, and it's not about the PRC exports threatening incumbents so much as the PRC has already run domestic markets into the ground.
Well, and they create, and in many ways they created markets, and they've also, you know, they've created massive markets inside China, you know, not just for you know, massive solar fields for power plants, but all, you know, all sorts of rooftop solar and linked together and microgrids. I mean, it's pretty amazing what the Chinese have built.
Yeah.
Well, and so in some ways, it's one of those things like, what is the real like net benefit to the world by having a glut of super cheap solar panels? Is it really all bad, or is it sort of half-half, or how do you calculate it? I'm not sure, but I don't think it's, you know, I think that there is something to be said for the fact that because of Chinese industrial policies, because of the size of the Chinese market, solar is now a really a viable option globally when it wasn't even 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it highlights how difficult these questions become as you really dig into what's going on, because there were two negative notes from Doomberg. I'm not an energy expert, but Doomberg is a terrific Substack.
Yes.
And they wrote, having actively participated in the solar industry during this period, we are under no illusions about how China pulled off this quote-unquote miracle. They leveraged cheap labor, had minimal environmental restrictions at solar production factories, blatantly stole intellectual property developed by Western companies, poured tens of billions of illegal subsidies into the industry to support domestic suppliers, and ironically used ready access to cheap coal to produce the energy-hungry inputs needed to make solar panels. And then they added on a separate piece, China accounts for a staggering 55% of the world's annual coal consumption. To say China is playing a cynical game with the climate elite of the West would be an understatement. While happily supplying the developed world with all the wind, solar, and battery raw materials it's willing to waste its money on, China has been permitting and building new coal-fired power plants faster than any country in history. And Doomberg also noted that the cheap labor referenced is partially slave labor in Xinjiang, which is obviously horrible. And again, it just creates this really complicated narrative when you look at how dependent the West has become on these solar components that are originating in the PRC and now being diverted through Vietnam and Malaysia and Thailand. Particularly in the U.S., where there's the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act was signed into law in 2021. So it's just a good example of how complex these dynamics get.
And there was some lobbying by folks who were concerned against that, by folks who were concerned that it would restrict access to cheap Chinese solar panels.
Ah, that's interesting. So that issue was identified up front.
Yeah.
As okay.
Yeah, I think the inputs, I think the some of the key inputs come from Xinjiang.
Yeah, so, well, it's...
It's a very complicated issue. It's a very complicated issue in China. You know, they are building all these coal plants. I think they also, though, you know, they can't just have a power grid that runs solely on renewable energy. They need to have, you know, multiple sources to balance out when they're, you know, when the wind's not generating or the sun's not shining, et cetera. It's just a very interesting time because on the one hand, again, get really cheap solar panels. Although, like I said, it still doesn't work in the U.S. unless the U.S. subsidizes too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Either at the federal level or at the local level or the utility level. And so, I mean, I don't know enough to actually sort of give a definitive answer of sort of where you come out on the net negative, net positive.
Yeah, no. And you can look at the story in multiple ways and frame it as an optimistic and positive story. I mean, it would be one thing if China were just the worldwide leader in green energy and were blazing a trail for the rest of the world to follow. But it looks like the reality is more complicated, where China has its own set of environmental rules as a developing country and then continues to lead the world in pollution. But then at the same time, the PRC is using its power to create these critical dependencies around the world as the West tries to decarbonize. So without prescribing any sort of authoritative solutions, the first step for countries like the U.S. and entities like the European Commission would be to be clear-eyed about what the playbook actually is.
And also, really, I think as China builds out its energy mix, there's also very clearly an element of national security, energy security. They're very explicit about that. And so that goes back to, is there a national security risk if, you know, the U.S., a big chunk of the U.S. electricity grid becomes, you know, using solar power
and
all,
yeah,
and all the panels are made in China and then they break and there's no way to replace them because they're all made in China. Is that an issue? I don't know. Maybe some listeners know. I'm just, you know, but with the way the Chinese talk about it, Xi Jinping talk about the energy mix, there's very clearly that the sort of the view of energy security is part of it. And really, it's also the energy mix and energy security mix is also part of the broader hardening of the PRC economy and building up its resilience to be able to withstand the kind of the kind of sanctions that Russia that are ongoing against Russia because of its invasion of Ukraine.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And that's where you get into whether it's the EU or the US, you're balancing competing priorities where green energy is a worthy goal, but then there's economic security, there's supply chain security, there's human rights and Xinjiang concerns. And so it's all there in the solar industry and what's happened over the last 10 years or so, and will continue to happen over the ensuing 10 years. So we shall see. Speaking of PRC exports, though, and global ambitions. All right. And that is the end of the free preview. If you'd like to hear the rest of today's conversation and get access to full episodes of Sharp China each week, you can go to your show notes and subscribe to either Bill's newsletter, Cynicism, or the Stratechery Bundle, which includes several other podcasts from me and daily writing from my friend Ben Thompson. I'm an incredibly biased news consumer, so I think both are indispensable resources. But either way, Bill and I are going to be here every week talking all things China, and we would love to have you on board. So check out your show notes, subscribe, and we will talk to you soon.